The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
For Friday, July 30th, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Sam Whitehead in for Jim Burris. Atlanta's Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says even locations with low rates of COVID-19 transmission should be aware of possible outbreaks fueled by the Delta variant. The agency says large gatherings can still be risky, even in locations with high vaccination coverage. It's the reason behind the agency's change this week on mask guidance. Lily Oppenheimer reports.
In a new report, CDC researchers examined hundreds of COVID-19 infections among Massachusetts residents who attended large public events on Cape Cod in early July. They found nearly three-quarters of infections happened in fully vaccinated people, four of whom were hospitalized and none died. A vast majority of infections were linked to the highly transmissible Delta variant of the coronavirus. At the time, nearly two-thirds of the state's residents were fully vaccinated. Researchers say this shows the value of prevention measures, like masking in indoor settings, even in places with high vaccine coverage. This week, the CDC said all people should wear face masks indoors, regardless of vaccination status. Lily Oppenheimer, WABE News.
As Metro Atlanta schools resume classes, some parents are relying on a new law that expands the state's special needs scholarship program. Some, though, say they're still in the dark about whether they can afford to send their children to a school that meets their learning needs. We have more from Mark Lanneman.
Senate Bill 47 expanded the scholarship program when Governor Brian Kemp signed it into law in May. Now, more kids with a variety of special needs are able to attend a private school that can accommodate to them if their public school can't. To know the financial package they'll receive, parents need to use a calculator on the State Department of Education's website. Only, that calculator hasn't been available. Carol Baker, a Cobb County parent, says she's still waiting to get an answer, just days before classes start.
Everybody kept getting the same notification. The calculator's not up yet. The calculator's not up yet. It'll be up in the middle of July. With us not knowing what our amount will be, it's impossible for us to tell the school to deduct from what our tuition's going to be and know what our monthly payments are going to be.
Fulton County parent Julie Hleep says her child can't get the same kind of care at their local public school.
For people who have fallen in love with a special needs school and believe that that could be life-changing for their children, it's scary.
Both parents feel as if the state wasn't prepared for the expansion. The Georgia Department of Education has said the new law required changes to the calculator, which caused the delay. Mark Lenneman, WABE News.
The Georgia Department of Education did not respond to WABE's further request for comment. It was 1 year ago that Atlanta said a final goodbye to civil rights icon John Lewis at Ebenezer Baptist Church. Earlier today, a few blocks west on Auburn Avenue, a crowd gathered underneath the towering mural of the late Georgia congressman to mark the occasion. Emil Moffitt was there.
Former Atlanta mayor and UN ambassador Andrew Young remembers meeting a young John Lewis and trying to put his finger on what made him special.
He was not the kind of firebrand that we expected most of our leaders to be. But there was a quiet power about him.
Ann Young says Lewis had courage.
John Lewis was always about getting the job done.
Lewis took his fight for civil rights to Congress in 1986 and served more than three decades until his death from pancreatic cancer in 2020. Stacey Abrams says Lewis fought for ideals, not just ideas. And she says he left behind a restless heart.
Because, you know, the notion of a restless heart means that you're never satisfied with the world as it is, that you believe you are obliged to make it better, and every day of John Lewis's life was about making life better.
Abrams and others used the moment to call on Congress to pass voting rights legislation named in Lewis's honor. Emil Moffitt, WABE News.
At the start of the year, a new rule went into effect requiring hospitals in the U.S. to post the prices they charge insurance companies and people who pay for services out of pocket. The idea is that more price transparency is better for patients, who would be better able to understand the cost of a hospital service before they receive it. Well, a rule only works if it's followed, and new reporting from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution finds that many hospitals in the state are not fully complying. Ariel Hart is one of the reporters who dug into this for the AJC, and she is with me now for more. Ariel, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
So just to start, what did this rule that went into effect on January 1st require hospitals to do?
This rule required all hospitals to post some information on the prices that they charge on the internet. A machine-readable file, that's what they call the charge master, is just a slew of like all possible prices. And the other, maybe more important part for patients, was to be that the hospital had to take 300 commonly used services and post those in a way that people could find them. People could find them prominently and search for them. And so the idea behind this was that people could price compare.
And so you and your team at the AJC looked at whether hospitals were doing this here in the state of Georgia. What did you find?
Many of the hospitals simply had not posted everything that they were supposed to post. And none of them had completely complied as far as making it easy to find.
And what did you find about why hospitals haven't complied with this rule?
I think a lot of them thought that they had complied completely, but there was a lot that was posted in very bureaucratic ways that, you know, maybe if you're a hospital administrator, that would be easy to find. But for your average person, it just was very complicated and going down different rabbit holes on a website to try and find something. One hospital, Memorial in Savannah, did a great job of being clear and obvious. They posted a great big icon on their homepage that made it clear to the average person that this is what you click to look for a price. And then you got down to the hospitals that really just didn't even try to comply and didn't really have an excuse except for that they didn't think that the rule really helped patients.
And I would imagine with this kind of rule, which is set by the federal government, there would be some kind of penalty or fine here. Is that not the case?
The rule was originally set up with a minimal fine, $300 a day if you don't comply. We have asked both the hospitals and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services whether they have started collecting the fines. You know, they have not told us that. This rule was initially put out by the Trump administration. Now, the Biden administration has taken up the rule and said, you know, we're going to go with this. We back this. And President Biden came out a few days ago and said, we are going to increase the fines to where they would really matter, in the range of more than $100,000 annually to possibly getting into seven figures.
And what does this mean for patients, for consumers, that hospitals, for the most part here in Georgia, haven't been following this rule?
The information may be difficult to find, but more than half of hospitals have posted all of the information that they were supposed to post. And so it is now possible to look for certain procedures on different hospitals' websites and look for the price. I would say that it's not easy, and the hospitals have a point when they say, you know, if you look up the price for a certain operation, you're not even going to know the total cost of the bill because you won't see what your insurance does. You won't see all of the ancillary services that come for that. That makes it very complicated, but what it really means for consumers is that for the first time, there is some way that someone is trying to bring them into the game and give them some skin in the game. Forever and ever, all of the mistakes, all of the problems have fallen on the patient and their checkbook. And this may be a first real big crack in that edifice.
Ariel Hart covers healthcare for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Ariel, thank you so much for talking with me.
You bet.
And that's it for The Brief. You can find more local news at wabe.org. I'm Sam Whitehead, in for Jim Burris. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The world is full of mysteries. Are ghosts real? Is that yogurt expired? Hey, the unknown can be scary, but when you donate to WABE, you know where your money is going. Your gift supports the journalism that keeps you informed and the programs that pull back the curtain on complicated stories. Help us make the world less mysterious. Become a member now. Go online to wabe.org/donate, and thanks.